Greetings, friends. On our last program, we discussed the vision God gave to the Apostle John when he saw a beast coming up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. We're going to briefly review that before we go on to the rest of this chapter, which is Revelation chapter 13. So this is in Revelation 13 verses 1 and 2. Here is the explanation of the 7 heads and 10 horns. The first head is the kingdom of Babylon. The second head is the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. The third, fourth, fifth, and sixth heads are the Grecian Empire with its 4 divisions after Alexander the Great died. And then the 7th head is the Roman Empire. Now I hope you also remember that it is the 7th head that has all 10 horns. And this 7th head with the 10 horns is synonymous with the 4th beast that also has 10 horns. If you read in the book of Daniel, it talks about 4 beasts there, and it's only the 4th beast that has 10 horns. Now, this 7th head, as we see in Revelation chapter 13, that has 10 horns, it's equal to the 4th beast in Daniel chapter 7 that also has 10 horns, but both of those are synonymous with the 4th kingdom described in Daniel chapter 2 that has the 10 toes. You remember that's the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and the 4th part of that is the 4th kingdom, which is the Roman Empire, but that 4th kingdom has 10 toes. So the 7th head of this beast in Revelation chapter 13 has 10 horns. That's equal to the 4th beast in Daniel 7 that also has 10 horns, and they're both equal to the 4th kingdom in Daniel chapter 2 that has 10 toes. Now what do all of these 10s picture? They're all the same thing, so what do they picture? Well, they picture the resurrected Roman Empire, not the original Roman Empire, but the resurrected Roman Empire. And what this means is that the original Roman Empire fell, and it fell in 476 AD, but it was resurrected in 554 AD. And I'm talking about it being resurrected or restored in terms of its territory and influence. It was not called the Roman Empire when it was resurrected. And that's, in fact, why this beast in the Bible is never described as the Roman Empire. You saw that the first beast was described as the Babylonian Empire. The second beast was described as the Medo-Persian Empire. The third beast was described as the Grecian Empire. And if you look at Daniel's image, which Nebuchadnezzar saw, you have the first part of the image, which is the head of gold, that's clearly described as the Babylonian Empire. And then you had the chest and arms of silver, that's clearly the Medo-Persian Empire. And then you had the stomach and thighs of bronze, that's clearly the Grecian Empire. But never, whether it is the 4 beast or whether it's the 4 parts of the image, you never have it described as Rome. It's not given a national name as the other 3 are. And that is because this beast, this system, is different from the other systems. It can't be described in the same way. It can't be limited to just 1 national name because it had multiple manifestations after the original Roman Empire was destroyed in 476 AD, it was revived in 554 AD under a different name. And so it is revived in terms of its territory and influence. Now notice how God prophetically describes what was to be the future history of Rome, this resurrected Rome. And this is where we're going to get in to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3. So this is Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3. Notice how God prophetically describes what was to be the future history of Rome. And when I say prophetically, it was future at the time when God gave this vision to the Apostle John. So John says, I saw one of its heads, this being the seventh head, I saw one of its heads as having been butchered to death, but its deadly wound was healed. Did you catch that? Its deadly wound was healed. And all the earth marveled or wondered or admired after the beast, after the fact that this could occur, that this Roman Empire could come back to life. People marveled at it. Now, original Rome came up out of the sea in 31 BC. It was divided in 330 AD into two regions. It was divided into the eastern region with Constantinople as its capital. And the west had Rome as its capital. Now, the fact that it was divided into two regions, if you go back and you look in Daniel chapter 2, in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, as Daniel is explaining it to him, he says that there are two legs. This is the fourth part. So we know it's the Roman Empire because it's the fourth part of the image. And he describes it as having two legs. These two legs are the two divisions of the Roman Empire, into the east and into the west. A perfect, perfect illustration by God, who, of course, is perfect. But this original Roman Empire was butchered to death in 476 AD when Augustulus, this is Augustulus, the last of the Roman emperors, was forced by Odoacer, and that's spelled O-D-O-A-C-R, Odoacer, when Odoacer the Heruli forced Augustulus to quit his imperial dignity. In other words, he kicked him off of the throne and he took over. But Odoacer took upon himself the title of King of Italy and translated the seat of the empire from Rome to Ravinia. So he transferred the seat of the empire from Rome to Ravinia, thus ending the great Roman Empire. But, as I've said a couple of times already, in 554 AD, Justinian, this is who revived it, Justinian, emperor of the eastern portion of the empire, who was ruling from Constantinople, he resurrected or healed the deadly wound of Rome. And how did he do it? Through an imperial legate. And that's just a fancy word. Imperial means empire. Legate means a legal body of works. So through a legal body of works that the empire enforced, which he had put in writing, he healed this deadly wound. And he brought about what is known in history as the imperial restoration of the empire. So it was through an imperial legate, which is simply, again, a document devised by the government to make a statement. And this statement was that the empire had been healed. The deadly wound had been healed. And it is called the imperial restoration of the Roman Empire. You can look in any encyclopedia, look up that term, imperial restoration, and you will see that Justinian was the one who restored this empire, the original Roman Empire. So he was the one that healed the deadly wound. Now, Justinian, he was a great legal person. He codified in the Corpus Juris Civilis, that's Corpus Juris Civilis, it's a Latin term for body of civil law. He codified in the Corpus Juris Civilis a text that today forms the foundation of the Western social system. And that's why I was saying to you that Rome was resurrected in terms of territory as well as in terms of influence. So the Roman system of government, the Roman laws, continue to influence modern day governments. So this is after Justinian healed the deadly wound in 554 AD, we're talking about 1500 years later, and governments are still being influenced by this body of laws that Justinian codified. Now notice that this statement here, this is quoted from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Now notice how they talk about this code of laws. This is in the Catholic Encyclopedia. It says, "The Corpus Juris Civilis is the basis of all canon law and civil law in every civilized country." Now that is a strong statement, but it is a true statement. The Corpus Juris Civilis, which was codified by Justinian, is the basis of all canon and civil law in every civilized country. Now, canon law is the body of laws and regulations made by or adopted by ecclesiastical authority for the government of the Christian church. Civil law is the body of laws and regulations made by or adopted by state authority for the government of the citizens. So canon law pertains to the church, and civil law pertains to the state. So it's church and state. He did both. He embodied both in the Corpus Juris Civilis. So at this point in time, I want you to remember three points from Justinian's resurrected Roman Empire. The first point is that it was resurrected in 554 AD. That's very important to keep in mind. The second point is his Corpus Juris Civilis governed the church and state and has become the foundation and model for all Western societies ever since. And the third point is the rule of law was enforced by the army. So we'll come back to these three points in our next program, but for right now, I want to emphasize that the world marveled at the beast because its seventh head, the Roman Empire, was revived, again, in terms of territory and influence. Also notice how people actually worshiped this Roman system. This we can see in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4, where it says, "And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it?" So we know that this beast, this governmental system, was a great war-making machine. And what empire on earth is known more than any other empire in history as a war-making machine? That's right, the Roman Empire. You had Mussolini, you had Hitler, who actually patterned their governments and their armies after the great Roman army and Roman system, because it was something to be admired by war makers. And that's why it says that these people worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with it?" People admire the power of a strong army, but people don't know that in this case they are actually worshiping Satan, for it is the dragon that gave original Rome its authority, and it is the dragon that gave resurrected Rome its authority. And I tell you on the authority of God's word that it is the dragon that will give the final manifestation of Rome its authority. Well, nobody's given me authority to go overtime in this radio program, so I've got to wrap it up.